I was at Purpose because I was able to interact with people and change lives. But now this is on a broader spectrum because I'm actually creating a product that people are consuming. Yeah, I just get up with satisfaction. Like, I eat, sleep, and breathe Moringa. Like, that's just me. I'm always talking about it. I'm very proud of what I've done and what I plan on doing going forward. And hopefully my kids, you know, they love it as well and pick up and continue to carry the torch going forward.
That was Cherie Conliv, owner of Share Vitality. And this is Epicenter NYC. We connect our communities to news, information, and each other. I'm your host, Amber Castillo. Cherie Conliv grew up in Brownsville, where corner stores were filled with junk food and her family's traditional West Indian foods were hard to find. Living in a food desert, she quickly realized the gaps in nutrition education, and this became the jump-off point to a career in wellness. After studying dietetics in college, where she was the only Black person in her class, Cherie recognized a disconnect in the curriculum. The foods they talked about were far from the staples she knew and loved. This led her to explore sources of nutrition closer to home, like breadfruit and plantains. Later, she began looking into herbs that could help with conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure. At this point, Cherie's neighborhood still lacked nutritious foods and drinks, so she began packaging the herbs herself, even taking Ziploc bags of tea to restaurants. And she didn't stop with just personal use. During the pandemic, Cherie started Share Vitality and is now bringing Caribbean nutrition to her community through Moringa and other traditional herbal teas. Today, I sit down with Cherie to learn more about the inspiration behind Share Vitality and what's next. Before we jump in, a quick message from our team.
Hi, I'm Carolina from the Epicenter NYC team, here to remind you to safeguard your fun, your plans, and your trips. Get vaccinated and don't let illness cancel your joy. It's your season, not flu season, not COVID season. You can schedule your appointment now and we can help. Send us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com or call or text us at 917-818-2690.
Now back to the show. Here's my conversation with Cherie.
My name is Cherie Conliff. I'm a registered dietitian and the owner of Share Vitality, which is a wellness company. We curate immune-boosting tea blends, and we also host wellness events in the community. So I do teach classes about nutrition and also do fitness and wellness programs with seniors and toddlers. So,
and when you say your community, what is your community?
So I actually grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and over there is kind of like a, let's say, a food desert, so to speak. We're surrounded around junk food and corner stores and stuff like that. Nutrition wasn't really something that we learned about. I found it interesting that no one spoke about that. And I thought that we need more people from the community to be educated on how nutrition can impact our health. So we're plagued with a lot of chronic diseases over there because it's very overpopulated. And then I moved to Queens because I needed more space.
When did you move? What age?
I moved to Queens in 2019, actually. Yeah, right before the pandemic.
Yeah. And then if you can remember back to when you were growing up in Brownsville, and can you remember maybe an experience or a time when you were first thinking about the food and nutrition disparities you mentioned, that is a food desert? Yeah. Was there a particular experience or something that led you to this path to think about nutrition and education and all of that?
Yeah. So I grew up in a West Indian household, and a lot of the foods that we eat weren't really readily available in my neighborhood. A lot of my classmates and stuff, they ate, you know, like chips and candies, a lot of different dyes and things like that. And then I started learning more about like attention deficit disorders and things like that. And they were hyperactive. And it's really because of the foods that they're consuming. And then it wasn't until I actually left Brownsville is when I realized that it was an issue. So I attended the University of Connecticut, and then I took up an elective of nutrition. And I said, wow, this is really interesting. I've never learned about nutrition in school throughout my entire school education system, which is bad because, you know, at a young age, you should learn about what food you should eat and things like that. You know, they taught us to say no to drugs, but nothing about nutrition and how the body works. So when I learned about the different health disparities when I was amongst a different population, like, I realized that we were really underserved as far as the nutritional knowledge. So I was the only Black person in my program. At that time, when I went to University of Connecticut, there was 5% minority. And I was the only Black person in my entire didactic program for dietetics. Even the curriculum, it was more based upon Western culture, food groups that we don't eat. A lot of it was like hummus and quinoa, things that I didn't grow up eating. So it was healthy, and that's what they're teaching you to eat, but it wasn't culturally diverse. So I took it upon myself to learn about other sources of protein and starches. Like, we have breadfruit in the Caribbean, you know, we have plantains and things like that. And they have nutritional benefits, but they don't teach you that in school. So you kind of have to explore to get diversity. So I push for that in the University of Connecticut as well. Like, let's explore other food groups, you know?
And how do you think that landscape has changed? Do you feel like there's more of a community now? Like you said, more
absolutely. I see more people of color attending the university. Also, I think the internet picked up more. So there's more people online speaking about it. And actually, you know, standing up for their rights. Before, we just, whatever we were taught, we just went along with it. Now people are having voices and saying, hey, what about my people? Or what about, you know, the way how I live? Like, it can't just be one dimensional, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've found that I see growth now.
Can you connect the dots from the graduating from the University of Connecticut and then starting this business?
Yes. Yeah, so, so when I was at the University of Connecticut, that's when Facebook just started, you know, and you had to have a school account to be on there and things like that. And then people started making more social subgroups, like I stated before. So afterwards, I graduated and I got recruited to start in a hospital. The hospital was actually in Brownsville, Brookdale Hospital. It was very diverse. So it felt like home for me, and I was able to educate people who look like me and eat like me on, you know, ways they can improve their health. And then what happened in 2015, you know, I started reaching more into herbs. And I asked my mom, she's from St. Vincent. I asked her, I said, you know, I don't like pills. I want you to find like the most nutrient dense herb you could find that doesn't taste bad. A lot of times they have different teas that are bitter and really nasty and stuff like that. And then she brought back moringa, and moringa changed my life. And that is when I went on to this entire wellness journey for myself, is how it started. And then I realized I have to educate others on the benefits of this. So
can you describe moringa? Is it moringa?
Yeah, moringa. Yeah. Moringa. So moringa is a herb. You can cook with it. You can brew it to make tea. I use it making tea. Both of my parents, they both have hypertension, right? So when you go to the doctor, they ask you, you know, what friends in your family, so both your parents have hypertension, so be prepared, you're going to get it too. So that didn't sit right with me because as a clinician, I don't think you should tell someone that. Also, there are ways to modify your lifestyle so that you don't suffer from those type of chronic conditions. So, and because of that, I started consuming the herbs, and that's when I consumed moringa. And so moringa has over 92 different nutrients. It has 46 antioxidants, 18 amino acids. It is known as the miracle tree because it helps prevent many chronic conditions such as hypertension. It can reduce your blood glucose levels. It's good for your cholesterol and lipids. It's good for your mood state, any anxiety you have. It helps with depression. It's antifungal.
When you say it helped you out, was it like you felt like your immune system was strong, or was there like a particular...
It gave me a boost. So I came up with the name Moringa Boost as the name of my tea product because it has zero caffeine, but it does boost your cells. That's what I was saying with the doctors saying that you can't run away from whatever's running in your family, which is not true. This is where it ends. As long as you modify what you're consuming, you won't get the same thing that your parents got because you're not eating the same thing as them. You know what I mean? So within 2 weeks, like, I really felt like a boost of energy. All my labs improved. Your mind state. I dealt with a lot of psych patients, and I have like mental clarity. I'm calm. Like, if you want to call me unbothered, that is me. Like, I can never be bothered by anything. And it helps you focus, you know, like if you're really distracted or you're an overthinker, which I was. And it just really changed my life. And the fact that it was so good to me, I said it would be a disservice for me not to share that with the rest of the world. And then I started packaging it in Ziploc bags. It was funny. You know, they used to make fun of me, calling me the Bush woman, because I would go to restaurants with tea in Ziploc bags. And that's because restaurants only had Lipton tea, and I didn't want that. And green tea was a little too strong for me. So I went with the moringa blends. Yeah.
And how did you package? So it was the actual, like, you grind it? And then you would put it in the Ziploc bags?
So, all right. So my parents grow it in St. Vincent. They ship it to America. You know, I clear it at the Department of Agriculture. And then you could take the leaves and you just put them in tea bags if you want, or you could use an infuser. So originally it was just Ziploc bags. And then I started packaging it professionally. And then I brought it to the farmer's market. That was in 2021, actually. Yeah.
Can you talk about like what your family's response to, or, you know, how did they feel about you starting up this business?
Originally, you know, they just thought it was a hobby. They didn't really think of it as a business. Both of my parents, they never had a business. They only worked for employers. So for them, it was kind of far-fetched it actually being something lucrative. But people were gravitating towards it after I told them what it did for me. And then people were consuming it. Then I started getting testimonials about how it changed their lives as well. And, you know, once I started presenting it outside at like the farmers markets, I had lines because people want health benefits, you know, pandemic hit, everyone's reconsidering like what they're consuming. And then I started making iced teas, and that's when the iced teas dropped. And that was when everything started to boom. Yeah.
Was it just the moringa tea at that point? Like, has it expanded?
So it's not just moringa. Moringa is always the base of every tea blend that I have. But I would incorporate other herbs. Like, I could put echinacea, I could put lemongrass, mint, things like that, people are more familiar with. And then I came up with a blend with moringa, lemongrass, and butterfly pea flower that everyone was really fascinated about. Because the butterfly pea flower also has medicinal benefits. It's excellent for your eyesight, helps fight against cancer. It's good. It's anti-aging, good for skin, hair. And also the cool thing with the butterfly pea flower blend, when you brew it, it's blue. And if you add lemon or lime, it changes the pH and then it turns purple. And that was something that I presented last weekend at York College for the kids and adults. They actually really enjoyed seeing that.
And because there's so many herbs with different medicinal properties or anti-inflammatory characteristics, how did you choose those specific ingredients or herbs?
Yeah. So I always look at the ones that are have the most nutritional benefits, and then the ones that don't taste too bad. Because let's be honest, like if you want to consistently consume something, you don't really want to take something that doesn't taste good. So I, you know, choose ones that really blend well together, and then you know, I just combine it, give it a name and tell them what it's good for. And they, you know, they drink it.
Yeah. And are a lot of them a big part of like either Caribbean or other food cultures?
Yeah. Most of the herbs we would get from a warm climate, Caribbean, from Asia or Africa. And then also I went into the sea moss. If you're familiar with the sea moss, it became really popular after the pandemic because it was known to eliminate mucus out of the body. And mucus was a big problem that was plaguing a lot of people when it comes to COVID. So I started curating sea moss, and then I had sea moss iced tea beverages. And that was like a ready-made drink that you could just drink on the go. That's when things really started to change. People like ready-made products, you know. And so after I presented that at the farmer's market, I started thinking, you know, what are we going to do after the summer? So one of the farmers, well, he had the fresh produce. He opened up a supermarket. So we said, we need somewhere where we can have our products when it's cold and people can get it all year round. So that was the first store that I put my products into, which was Earnest Foods.
I am curious if you could connect a bit about how you're, you know, that realization that our food cultures aren't being represented here when we talk about diet and nutrition. In you know, the Western design, how you could connect that realization to what you were doing in the business, how you incorporated your own food culture, all of that that's being excluded.
Well, yeah. So I stated before, so because we didn't have these culturally nutritional foods available in our community, if we go out to a restaurant, if you ask them for what kind of tea they have, more than likely it's just going to be black tea or it's going to be green tea. So I had to walk with my own. Even on the plane, I have to bring my own. Like, I need my moringa. Like, it keeps me going. So I said, what other store can you go into and get this tea? I have to put it out there, you know? So there's a demand and there's a need for it. And that's when I realized, okay, let me start producing. And when we met Earnest Foods, well, Earnest Flowers and I, you know, we talked about that, how people don't have access to these culturally diverse foods. So we have to create our own. And then eventually other stores, maybe they open up their doors to us and realize that these things, you know, they can be profitable and, you know, they can sell, you know. So that's how it really happened. Yeah.
Did your family your family grow up drinking tea as well? Or are you growing up these types of
things? They did. They did. They you know, my dad, he still farms. So he really grew up on the land. He grows his own potatoes, corn, different vegetables. You know, he has lots of different fruits. They have mango season right now. It's great out there.
Okay. And then and they had immigrated to here and then returned back home? Or?
Yes. So both my parents were from St. Vincent in the Caribbean. They worked here, for the majority of their adulthood. And basically they retired and went back. And my dad, he went back. And now he's farming, providing these supermarkets out there with produce. So, and they also, grow the moringa for me and send it for me, which I appreciate them.
Interesting. So at first, when you were starting, when you were starting on this journey, they thought it was a hobby. But then later, also years later, your dad is doing something pretty similar. So you guys are in parallel.
Yeah. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
What about your mother? Is she also involved?
Yeah. So my mom, she was into banking, but, she helps me with the financial aspects.
And specifically, how has there been like a certain advice she gave you that helped you out with this business?
Believe it or not, she didn't really think it would be a business because she just thought, it's just bush. Like, that's what they consider it because they are surrounded by so many different herbs, so many different fruits, then they have no idea like what it can do for them. Because even they, in the Caribbean, they don't really talk about it. They're surrounded by it. They didn't even realize that people would spend big top dollar to, have this shipped out because they can't grow it. So a lot of things that at their fingertips, they take for granted.
What about when it did start to take off and she like what point did she start seeing it as more of a
business? When she came to America and she started coming to the farmer's market and then she saw people coming and lining up, then she realized, wow, this is and she got excited, like, oh wow, we're really doing this, So that's when she realized it was real.
And what have been some of the biggest challenges to keeping either starting up the business or keeping it going?
The biggest challenges, like lack of staff, I guess, because when you're thought of as an entrepreneur, you don't have that much capital. So you're doing everything yourself, whether it's responding to emails or it's just following up. Now they have AI and different automations that can help you. But the biggest challenge is pretty much doing everything and trying to be everywhere. Yeah, quality control is very important to me. So I always want to make sure that you're following the recipe properly and it tastes the same exact way. So I want to be there all the time, to make sure. And then there's like so many different events, so many different opportunities. And I can't be everywhere because I also work and I also have kids and they have homework, So time management, I think, is the hardest thing.
In your business, in your work, what most brings you joy?
I just love to hear people's response like after they drink the tea. I like to hear about like how much it did for them. I like to see them smiling, saying, I never knew that I could actually stick to something that's healthy. That's the part I like the most. And now recently I've been curating like healthy social events. Because usually when you go out, everything is just, drink alcohol or, eat junk. So I curate different tea parties. So I actually have a tea party coming up June 23rd. This is my third one in Queens. So at the tea party, if people are able to come out, dress up, experience different selections of healthy Moringa Boost teas. We even have foods with Moringa in it. We do mocktails. We do cocktails as well. We have a wellness panel. So we collaborate with different people in the neighborhood or different business owners. And we talk about ways to live healthier, different ways we can work together. Cooperative economics, as I stated before. So I also offer the space that I have to other entrepreneurs. They can have a table where they can meet and network with others, display their products or services. I invite elected officials to come out as well. It's really just a good moment for us to have a time and unwind, still putting health first, but having fun, and you get to network. And it's just a great opportunity to enjoy life.
And can you speak about what being a small business owner means to you and what you hope to be for the community?
Being a small business owner, it is very rewarding. It lets you know that if you have a dream and you work towards it, it can become a reality. A lot of things seem far-fetched, but if you're persistent, you can actually grow and be your own boss. And it's a beautiful thing. And reaching out to the community is just rewarding in itself, because I get gratitude when I'm able to help serve others. Yeah, so I just love it.
Yeah, and what are your hopes for the future of Share Vitality?
You know, one day I'm hoping to probably open up a cafe that is interactive with the community, where they can come in and learn things. And I'm also looking to become a major distributor to different companies. So if I can get in with a big distributor, that would be good. I'm also looking to get into the airport. Hopefully they have a lot of programs going on now for minority women business enterprises. So I'm trying to work on that, seeing where I land. I definitely want to get into Whole Foods one of these days. So that would be good.
Yeah, definitely. And how can people support you or learn more about you?
They can find me online on sharevitality.com. They also can go on my Instagram. That's at Moringa Boost, MORINGABOOST. So you can find me there, and then you can stay up to date with different events that I'm doing, different pop-ups, different educational stuff. And I'm also on Facebook. You can look up Moringa Boost as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for spending time with me. I hope whoever's listening, I hope you guys can come out to the tea party. So you can find the info on sharevitality.com, and you can follow me online at Moringa Boost. It'll be really great. June 23rd.
You can find Share Vitality teas by visiting sharevitality.com/shop. They're also sold at Earnest Foods in Jamaica. And if you haven't already listened to our episode on Earnest Foods, make sure to check it out by clicking the link in our show notes. Finally, if you know of a local business that you think Epicenter should feature, let us know. Drop us a note at hello@epicenter-nyc.com. That's all for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting us as we do our best to support our community. We couldn't do it without you. For more stories like this, make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at epicenter-nyc.com. Our intro music is All the Pretty Horses by Caravica. You can find more of their music on their website, linked to in our podcast description.